Turning back tonight in God's Word to the Gospel of John and the first chapter, Gospel of John and the chapter 1, and we'll read 40 and 41 again. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. With God's word open before us, we'll bow in a further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again we commit ourselves and our way. All of the interactions that will happen along that path into thy hand. Lord, we hear of people full of despair, feeling convinced they have reached the end of the line of any hope. They give way to total hopelessness, and by their own hand they leave this scene of time. We often feel, if only, one of thy children had been near and aware of circumstances. We recognize oftentimes the moment cannot even be predicted. Such is the way in which our emotions can be shielded from our fellow men. But Lord, help us to be in the right place where sinners are. Maybe not be frightened of them. That's where we have come from. Maybe not, Lord, be terrified to speak a word for the Lord Jesus because we're on a rescue mission. We pray that thou wilt open our eyes and open our hearts too. Without a passion of heart, there will be no words of rescue spoken. But we could very much do the way that the Levite and the priest did when they saw the man who had fallen among thieves lying bleeding by the side of the road. Lord, make good Samaritans out of each one of us. Ones that can bring the oil and the wine of thy presence, the blessing of thy word, the compassion of thy heart. Do us good even as we consider this passage in Scripture tonight. We pray that thou wilt rivet the word to our mind, attach it to our heart, help us to ponder over it way beyond 9 o'clock tonight, and may we act it out practically at every given opportunity. In Jesus' name and to thy glory we ask these things. Amen. Matthew, the Bible character and disciple, is mentioned only a few times in the New Testament. But every time we see him mentioned and described, we find him doing exactly the same thing. He is, on each occasion, introducing others to Jesus. He had, first of all, as we have read in our Bible reading tonight, in John 1, 39 to 42, he had that great joy of introducing his brother Peter to the Lord. Then we read on in the same gospel. We come to chapter 6. And the verses 8 and 9, and we find here he is again. Andrew has just appeared again on the page of Scripture. What's he doing? Well, he is introducing that lad with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus Christ, bringing another soul to the Master. Then we read on a few more chapters. And in John 12, the verse 20 to 22, here's Andrew again. And once more, consistent as ever, he is introducing those Greeks to the Lord. People who had come to him and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now, he wouldn't have been so boastful as to say, "Well, I'm your man." But he could have done it, because he was the man to go to if you wanted to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we read of Andrew, this is what he was doing. There's no more important work in the world than this, introducing other people to the Savior. Andrew, we know, had been called to this very task by the Lord himself. In Matthew 4, the verse 18 to 20, Andrew had listened to the words of Jesus, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That is your task. And he knew the Lord Jesus Christ himself was engaged in this vital business, this wonderful enterprise, because in Luke 19 and 20, the Son of Man, he came from heaven to earth. Why? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he says to every one of us, the reference, you could look it up in John 20, 21, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." On the same business, doing the same outreach. But I'm an ordinary person. Well, so was Andrew. He was an absolutely ordinary person. But the Lord can use each of us as he used him in bringing others to the Savior. Andrew, in terms of people hitting the page of Scripture and making a huge impact, was never able to stand shoulder to shoulder with his brother Peter. Peter always seemed to be pivotal. Whenever the disciples were involved, he was there. Andrew would have found Peter standing head and shoulders above him in many respects. He never did rank with, for example, the likes of the Apostle Paul, going around here, there, and everywhere, establishing a church, preaching, engaging the Jews in the synagogues, showing them that Jesus Christ was the very Messiah. He didn't reach the rank of Paul, that apostle. In fact, we're never told Andrew ever preached one sermon. There's no record of that. But he led Peter to Christ. Let's turn that around a little. We do have on record some of Peter's sermons and many of Peter's statements and comments. But there would never have been a sermon coming out of the mouth of Peter had it not been for the faithful, personal soul-winning of Andrew, his brother. What a vital link in the chain Andrew was. And we can be that link as well. A few things here. The soul winner's task is one of them. You'll find it in John 1:41. He first findeth his own brother Simon. That's the task of the soul winner. And each word in that sentence in John 1:41 is very important. He first findeth his own brother Simon. Isolate the word first. I have little doubt he led many another person to the Lord after the day when he himself became a Christian. But the thing about first is this. It's the action that's recorded of him after he met Jesus Christ. Now, they had some time together, as you will see from verse 38 and 39 and 40 as well, because look at verse 39, for example. They came and saw him where Jesus dwelt. They abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And what Andrew could have done. Would have been check this one and that one on somebody else, and a bit of a name check here in the sense that we were with Jesus. Here's what he said. Aren't we tremendous guys? So privileged, as if they'd been to some wonderful gathering, and they had. But all they were talking about would have been the gathering, not so. He first findeth his own brother Simon. His immediate activity after finding Christ, or rather being found by Christ, was to see someone else, one for him. Now that should be the impulse that sparked off in our heart when we are born again by the Spirit of God. And that impulse is one that we should nurture and encourage and develop, and by grace he heightened, and pray the Holy Spirit will grant us even more of it, so that our hearts are throbbing and beating with compassion for the souls of men, so that soul winning stays top of the list, an item of first importance. He first. The very first thing he did after conversion. Then the word findeth. He first findeth. We can have all those illustrations, and the Savior graciously gave them to us in, for example, Luke 15. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. Items that were out of sight. Items that they felt deprived in not having them. Lost items. You know, we need to remind ourselves again and again as we talk to people, interact to people, talk to them about the weather, interact and joke with them, and some amusing incident related and all the rest of it. But we're looking into the eyes of those who are lost. That ought to be the first thing that just springs right into our minds as we interact with them and engage with them. They're lost. I am no better than they are, because I was lost too. As John Newton said, I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. And here's a man on a mission, and the first thing that he does is that he finds his own brother Simon, because he recognizes he's lost. First, findeth. The other part of this sentence, he findeth his own brother Simon. Would it not have been easier to go and talk to somebody else's brother? It always is. Would it not have been easier to reach beyond the confines and boundaries of my family and engage someone else's family and bear my soul to them? It's always easier to do that. But we must have this first concern for those for whom we are first responsible. Many are fathers and mothers. By the help of the Lord, we have brought children into the world, and we are first responsible for them, to bring the message of the gospel of grace to their heart, to live out a solid, sterling Christian testimony in front of their eyes, so that all times we are that signpost that's pointing only in the one direction, not giving confusing, contrary signals, but pointing to Christ. Do you have loved ones who aren't saved? Of course you do. So have I. Are you doing anything to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you letting them sail on, swan around in life, knowing they're going over the precipice? The soul winner's task. Certainly it takes patience, certainly it takes energy, certainly it takes endeavor, but it can bring real blessing to those nearest and dearest to us. He first findeth his own brother Simon. The task of the soul winner. Then look at the testimony of the soul winner, because again in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto them, saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. What did Andrew do when he caught up with Peter? All he did was give him his testimony. We have found the Messiah, the Christ. Notice four things here. That was a spoken testimony. I know some people say the vital thing is to live the life. Let them see by example you're different. That is absolutely vital. No question about that. And no way would I be demeaning that responsibility. It's on us. We should be living the life. But living a Christ-like life does not exempt us from the responsibility of speaking of the Lord. It was a spoken testimony. It was a simple testimony. What Andrew said to Peter here, it didn't take Peter to pull up all of his intellect to decode this message. A child would have known exactly what he was talking about. We have found the Messiah, the Christ. Everybody in Israel knew who the Messiah was, or knew details of him. All of our prophets have been proclaiming him, prophesying what he will be like, what he will do, etc., etc. They knew about him in Israelite homes. And so a child in the home, when he would have heard words like this, we have found the Messiah, even he would have pricked up his ears. It was a simple testimony. What do we tell our friends? Do you know what? There's a most wonderful friend in all the wide world, and his name is Jesus. You have an issue with sin. That's what's going to take you to hell and keep you out of heaven. There is one and only one who has come with the solution to your sin, and his name is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. It's a simple testimony. Spoken. Simple. It was a sure testimony. I don't believe that there was a waver in Andrew's voice when he made this announcement to his brother, we have found the Messiah. It wasn't, do you know something, Peter? I'd like you to come with us and check this out. A second opinion would be very valuable, because we think we have found somebody who answers to the Old Testament description of the Messiah. Some of us have had, I mean, the guy that was with me, and we have gone to another group of people on the way to you, and we have discussed this. And you know, if he's not the Messiah, he's mighty like him. He seems to tick the boxes, but we're not sure. Will you come and give us your idea on this? What's your take? No, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. It's so certain. He was absolutely certain about his message. And in this day and generation, when, can I even use the word Brexit again? Uncertainty. Apart from the certainty, we're going out with no deal. Uncertainty is the order of the day. Nobody knows what is going to be turned up next. Who would have thought that modernistic, idealistic, liberal that he is, John Bercombe, would have been scraping way back around about 1604 to find a rule that nobody had used for years or even knew about. I know somebody else prompted him, but into the dusty corners he went to find it. People are so uncertain. But Andrew was not uncertain. And we need, in this day and generation, to make sure the trumpet gives an uncertain, a certain sound. Not the uncertain sound that the false prophet and those fake preachers come along, and when they speak, what kind of a Christ are they presenting? Who is this Jesus figure that they claim to be following? It's so much of a fudge. You remember how Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You'll remember how Job in the Old Testament, in Job 19 and 25, he cries out, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." He knew all of that, and everything he announced and declared with definiteness. As did Andrew. He spoke with sureness or certainty. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." A spoken testimony, a simple testimony, a sure testimony. Will we tell out what we know? What we know? Into the midst of the world's ignorance? We have an anchor, and they don't. An anchor that keeps the soul. It was a sensible testimony, I think that would be fair to say as well here, because you see how Andrew addressed his brother Peter? The point of contact? "We have found the Messiah." The Messiah. Like every other Jew, Peter would have been looking for the Messiah. Great wisdom is needed in soul-winning work. And the Lord, James 1 and 5, he promises to give that wisdom to those who ask him. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him." It's good to find out what our contacts are interested in. Don't be frightened to talk on their level. Don't be frightened to bring up topics that you know they're interested in. And keep moving and moving and moving the conversation around so that it becomes their interest, becomes a very platform for you to present Christ. "We have found the Messiah." And Peter was engaged immediately, because that was something he was very, very interested in, to say the very least. The task of the soul winner, the testimony of that soul winner. And then, of course, as we close this series of thoughts, the triumph of the soul winner, and we find that in verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus." And he brought him to Jesus. That warrants a fanfare of trumpets. The loudest celebratory music that the world has ever known deserves to be played right here, because this is something worth celebrating. He brought him to Jesus. Have you ever had that tremendous experience? It's important to note that Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. He didn't point, you know, over there, that general direction. That's where he was last seen. Go and see if you can find him. He went all the way to where Peter was to begin with. And he brought Peter all the way back with him to where Jesus was. He brought him to Jesus. So again, he didn't just tell him, instruct him, command him, advise, counsel him, you need to go to Christ. He led him to the Lord. He instigated the introduction. And it's a fact. And all our churches testify to it, and every evangelical and reform fellowship testifies to it. It's a fact that the overwhelming majority of those who come to the Lord and are truly converted are brought to him by someone. And that's where you and I fit in. We are the someone who should be bringing them. Because the overwhelming majority, by extension, will not come walking in themselves. Now, was this worth the effort? Was it worth Andrew giving his testimony on this occasion? When we read all of verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. In other words, I have a plan for you. You're going to do great things in my name. Cephas, by interpretation, a stone. Let me take you to two scenes where Andrew and Peter would have been. They make their way right up past Nazareth and Galilee, where the majority of our Lord's ministry was concentrated, and they get right up there to Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus says, Whom say ye that I am? And Peter stands up and spokesman for the disciples. He says, Wonderfully, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What an announcement. What knowledge, what glory was brought to the Savior by that statement of identification. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you picture Andrew? Well said, brother. That was amazing. Now, where did you hear that? Remember the day when I said to you, we have found the Christ. We have found the Christ, the Messiah. And here's Peter making this declaration. And I am sure Andrew was so filled with emotion to be there. I said, two places, let's go to the other one. Thousands of people are gathered in Jerusalem. Only a short time before, you wouldn't have seen one single disciple because they were terrified to show their faces. But now that he heard Jesus is risen from the dead, has showed himself by these many infallible proofs unto us, they're out there and they're preaching. And who's the main preacher on the day of Pentecost? Peter. And what does he preach? He preaches Christ. Him that had been betrayed, taken by wicked hands, crucified, slain. Him hath God raised up to be a prince and a savior. And he's exalting in that tremendous sermon. And it's reaching out to so many areas, so many representatives of so many nations that day on the day of Pentecost. And Peter is preaching the Christ. Would Andrew not have been rather chuffed standing alongside him? I introduced you by the grace of God to this Christ. And now that you're introducing thousands of others to him, it thrills my heart. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. The triumph of the soul winner. Let's be Andrews. Let's look for the Peters. Let's see them this week. Let's see them on Sunday morning. Let's have the soul winner's joy after we display the soul winner's passion and deliver the soul winner's message. Let's pray.